evening, everyone. Welcome to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. John Kane here for the show this evening, and I got a couple of icons with me here.
Icons.
Fred Smith and Josh Riley, and these two guys combined must know everything there is to know about Siena Heights sports because, you know, they – whatever the one doesn't know, the other one knows. I just know how that works out. Right, you guys?
Yeah. I know we know more about the Lions and Browns than probably anybody else, too. But I don't know if that's always good to know, you know.
Well, we're looking for a good show here tonight. You know, we're getting – it's the holiday season, you know. And as I understand, most of the athletes are – busy with exams, right, this week?
Yeah, this is, I believe, final exam week.
It is finals week, and late night breakfast is tonight on campus at 8 p.m., a nice campus tradition. It reminds me of my old St. Bonaventure. We used to have midnight breakfast back at St. Bonaventure, but we usually used to use that as a chicanery night. You know, we were going out and having all sorts of fun on midnight breakfast night back at St. Bonaventure. I don't know what's going on at Siena Heights, you know, but the campus tradition continues tonight here on campus. Finals week, so that's why I'm here. You know, I figured I'd give the student athletes and the coaches a week off, a night off to focus on the end of the semester. So, this fall semester flew by, I can tell you that much.
Josh, I'm just going to tell you one thing. I pronounced that word slightly different because, of course, my last name. So I say chicanery.
Chicanery.
I like it. That is good.
Love it.
I don't know what the traditions are. John, we're down in Notre Dame, but this thing has been going on. Gosh, I've been there 47 years, and I have to admit, I breathe a sigh of relief now that I'm only there halftime. I don't have to make an appearance, dishing out food and doing all that stuff. But it is certainly a great thing. It's mainly to support these young people as they're trying to finish up the semester. And it's always a difficult time being a basketball coach for 30 years. Right now, you really need to leave your kids alone for a few days. Because they need to, you know, they need to come into the gym on their own just to blow off steam. But it's very pivotal time for their academic careers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't have, you know, there was a couple of traditions I had when I went there, like physics finals on Sunday. And
it's a terrible tradition.
Calculus and chemistry finals on Memorial Day. But other than that, it was, you know.
My favorite story, I got it, and I don't care. I'm going to tell the audience here. John and I did a game down Lourdes a few weeks ago, and he had to put up with me. I was whining that day about our men's performance. Sorry, Joe. But he told me something about himself that I've told a bunch of people that at Notre Dame – their intramural football, Josh, they played tackle football. Is that a great tradition or what? And it's with John. I thought that was a phenomenal story.
Well, you know, and that's what's so sad because 2023 was this year.
That's it. Uh-huh.
They have discontinued
tackle football
intramural on campus. So I'm really sad about that, but you know, that's the way the world
life changes
now.
Man,
yeah, no question about it. We did our thing. I mean, yeah. I could only manage 2 years, and we actually won the campus championship my second year.
Wow.
Playing, but it was just like, you know, we had all league tackles, our quarterback was all city Chicago.
Isn't that something? I don't know if anybody. I wonder if anybody does that.
Is that full pads or?
Oh yeah,
pads. This is not like outside the old back door where we were younger and you had to play tackle football. You came home and you wonder why you had a black eye or bloody nose. But is classic stuff.
We had a 6-game regular season and then campus playoffs after that. So
that'd have been something.
That's incredible. How times have changed.
Oh, yeah.
How times have changed.
Right. Look what happened to them now. You know, when I was playing intramural football tackle, there weren't any women there. Now they've got women.
That's right.
So.
There wasn't. You were there when it was all male school.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
right.
a dinosaur. Yeah. I am a dinosaur. So, but let's talk about what's going on with the Saints now. I don't know how the chronology, we can talk either present time or maybe we want to put a bow on the fall sports because this is going to be the end of the calendar year. But there were some really good successes that happened.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about the fall. I mean, I can jump right into football. Another 6-4 year, a winning record in overall, winning record in the Mid-States, Mid-East League at 4-3. I mean, football right where it probably should be. Well, probably not where it wants to be, but I mean, they were going to that final week of the season against Marion, believing that, you know, they get a win over a top 10 team, they might be getting an invitation to the NAIA tournament. Unfortunately, didn't turn out that way, but it's still a lot to build on. I mean, the football team had a lot to replace in one guy and losing, all everything linebacker Cole Merlin.
And
they did all, you know, they did okay, probably, you know, missed him a little bit, but had a guy in Clark Hamilton step up.
Boy, he had a great year.
And he kind of not made you forget about Cole a little bit, but, you know, at least kind of filled that hole. I mean, our running back was incredible. Ethan Lopresto.
That kid is from
Reading.
Oh, my gosh, and he is. He's not a big guy. I mean, he's gotten bigger over the years, but boy, he runs. I made a comment that, like, you know, I heard him say this once, like, he's angry with the ground. He runs that hard, you know. I heard that expression on, he was a tough kid. And I think the other story here, Josh, is I think we found a quarterback too, you know.
Yeah, Elijah Taylor didn't get all conference accolades, but once he was comfortable in that position, once the receivers, the offense, you know, really kind of bought into what Elijah could bring to the table. Yeah, I mean, the offense showed the ability to move the ball, you know, on the ground and through the air at times. I mean, we had a couple great receivers and Eric Williams, who was a four-time all-conference kid.
Just a heck of a wideout.
Kid out of South Bend. He went to Adams High School over in South Bend. But he'll be on his way out now. But, I mean, they'll have to replace him. They've got some receivers coming on the way through. But, yeah, I mean, he and Elijah had developed a great rapport. Credell Prather was another guy. Yes. Hammond, Indiana product of Morton High School. Where I think we got 7 or 8 kids from Morton High School.
Wasn't he a defensive? Didn't they move him to wideout?
Prather was actually he was a quarterback.
He was a quarterback,
and they moved him to wideout, and then he got a Mid-States, Mid-East honorable mention. So he wasn't a first or second, but he was a receiver on the field week in and week out that other defenses had to account for as well. So the offense got better. I think that's always kind of been the Siena Heights bugaboo is, man, the defense is going to keep the team in games. It's how well will the offense do? And I think the Siena Heights offense is trending upward. Especially,
yeah, I agree.
Especially with a quarterback. And I believe Lopresto will be gone to graduation, unfortunately, but there were a couple other running backs that got in the mix. I mean, Lopresto was great. 15 total touchdowns on the offense. About 900, what was it, 918
He didn't quite rushing. Get 1,000.
Didn't get 1,000, but had a lot of big runs, a lot of big, you know. He was the first team running back in the conference. I mean,
he reminded me a little bit of Blake Corum up at Michigan
by the way
he got into the end zone.
Yeah, and he was, like Corum, he had a unique way of bleeding out extra yards. And there's something to that. You know, some guys go down easy. Neither of those guys do.
No, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Lopresto, definitely an angry, angry, tough runner. He wasn't our only first teamer. We had cornerback Shamar Askin, who was on the defensive side, and year in and year out, Siena Heights football
typically has a great defense
and defensive backs that can. I'm trying to remember the streak. I think it's three or four straight years we've had a first team defensive back, and
the league is such a grinder. I mean, and a lot of the teams are extremely close to one another, and you always wind up with these close knockdown dragouts that don't get decided until the last minute of the game practically.
It's a very competitive league. I believe three or four of the mid-states teams made it to the national quarterfinals. The two teams on our side, well, there was Marion got knocked out in the first round. Indiana Wesleyan got to the quarterfinals. Grandview, St. Xavier, they were in the mix well in the final eight. They're on the other side. They're in the Midwest League. But once again, I mean, you know, when half of the national field is coming from, you know, a group of these 16 schools, I mean, it shows the competition week in and week out. I mean, One big highlight for the Saints football team is we can consider ourselves basically we're the NAI Michigan champs. We went 3-0 against Concordia Madonna and Lawrence Tech. So, and the Concordia win was a huge win going up to Ann Arbor, and
those two teams love each other, don't
they? Yeah, they absolutely love each other. But I'll tell you what, funny story about the Concordia game is I'm not going to mention any names, but I did talk to one of the coaches, and I was a sports information director here years ago, left for a little while, and I've come back, and I asked one of the coaches, I said, I mean, I was here for the beginning of the program. Where's Concordia now in terms of rivalry? I mean, I know the first couple of years we were really taking it to Concordia, and then all of a sudden they passed us. And I asked one of our coaches, I said, so is this our big rival, would you say? The coach turned to me and he said, I mean, we haven't beat them in 8-9 years. I don't know if you can call it a rivalry. And then they go out that Saturday and they beat Concordia. So
yeah,
hopefully the rivalry is back now.
Well, you know, the funny thing about it, so many of these games, Josh, and again, they were games where we just somehow found a way to lose. I don't know how to explain it. If you saw, and I know a lot of the listeners, the Auburn-Alabama game, what a miracle. I mean, because I missed the end of the game. And I asked, my brother said, it was a miracle. Well, they beat us on a play up there like that, I don't know how many years ago. I never remember walking out. There were so many tough losses to them. So it wasn't like they were dominating us, but they were beating us. And they went to the place we've wanted to be at, and that's the NAI National Tournament a few times. I don't mean to switch subject. What surprised me was St. Xavier, didn't they knock off, was it Indiana Wesleyan? And they're on the other side, and I thought they lost to both those teams, and that surprised me. And it was a surprise because usually one of our teams make it to, I noticed that nobody actually made it to, I think, the Final Four.
Yeah, and right now the finals is
Northwestern, right?
Northwestern.
And Kaiser.
And Kaiser down in Florida. Northwestern way up in northwestern Iowa, way out there. Yeah. And Kaiser, which, man, Kaiser is really, seems like they compete in everything now.
Yeah, they are. That's the old Northwood of Florida, and Kaiser bought that campus. But Northwestern is like, and Dort are almost like very sister type schools, like what Calvin and Hope is here with the Christian Reform. That's Dort and Northwestern, you know, and Northwestern also is a very, very powerful athletic program.
I know a little bit about Northwestern. That goes way back. My uncle taught there. And just a little bit. Wesleyan, I think everyone knew that they were going to be a tough nut when they got admitted to the league.
They went all out.
Yeah. So it is what it is. So you beat them and you're pretty darn good.
Yeah, and I don't want to lay this in concrete right now, but I do know that the Mid-States football is going to undergo a little bit of realignment here in the near future. And I believe those two powerhouses, Marion and Indiana Wesleyan, are going to get moved to the west, out
I think
to the Midwest.
I think St. Francis is going west.
St. Francis will be one of them.
And one of them, I think, are, if I remember right, and I'm out of the business now, but I knew, I think St. Francis eagerly ran to the west.
They ran to the west because they wanted to get away from, maybe they wanted to get away from Iwu.
Yeah.
But I know there's going to be some realignment.
Well, with Defiance coming in.
And Defiance, and that's going to be an interesting, you know, I'm excited as a former Division III guy, no longer, I'm true NAIA guy now, but as a former Division III guy, I'm excited to see Defiance come in. I mean, I mean, right down the road, not that far. We'll be able to compete with them in so many different, in so many different sports, including football. I can't wait to see their basketball team. It's just, I think that's a good move for Defiance and a great move just because it gets us another kind of local rival right down the road.
Yeah, the WAC, which is obviously separate from the Mid-States, but the WAC will be up to 13 schools, I think, which is, it's a mega conference now. Certainly the WAC has been very progressive in offering some sports that the I always forget the Indiana League. I always call it the Mid-Central.
The Crossroads
doesn't do. So we have Crossroads members in lacrosse and other sports in our league. And not everybody has every sport, but, like you say, Defiance, adding Defiance, I was just going to look it up here. We talked about this on a broadcast earlier on who was leaving, but one of the schools, St. Ambrose, is going, I think, to the Heart of America. Mm-hmm. And no offense, St. Ambrose, wonderful place. In fact, our current
softball coach.
Great women's softball coach is a proud St. Ambrose grad, but that's a long trip, you know. So on a crossover, and for when we started, John, we made that Iowa trip maybe once or twice a year. So
that was three or four times 1 year for me because there was a year where we
Grandview and
drove out to Grandview, which is in Des Moines. We drove out to Iowa Wesleyan, which was in Muscatine or someplace. We went to Waldorf, which is up in northern Iowa. One of the big regrets I had on that trip was we were probably a 10-minute drive from the Minnesota border, and I've never been in Minnesota, and had the opportunity to just drive another 10 minutes and cross into Minnesota. Interesting tidbit on that Waldorf trip is when we went all the way up there to northern Iowa. It's same area where the plane went down with Buddy Holly, Big Bopper, and the day the music died. We were like there's a memorial, and I think the restaurant we ate at that night was at the corner of Buddy Holly Boulevard and Big Bopper, Richie Valens something. I mean, there was, but I know. It's just, but that's a pop culture reference to way back when when that. Small plane went down in northern Iowa, but we were right up there.
The day the music died, right?
All right. Well, right now it's time for a commercial break. So we're going to be right back after this. You're listening to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
The top online bachelor's degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA. And no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.sienaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Hi, this is Marty Nine with IAT Insurance in Blissfield. Give me a call at 517-486-4381.
At At Lenawee Community Mental Health Authority, Children's Services provides evidence-based therapeutic interventions such as parent management training, the organ model, trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, also known as EMDR, and infant mental health. To access our services or utilize our 24/7 crisis line, please call 517-263-8905 or visit us at lcmha.org.
Santa, Santa, did you hear that DNP Communications is trying to compete with you?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, in December they're doing a 25-day giveaway. Everything from gadgets to gift cards.
Oh, they're not competing, they're helping. Just like they've helped connect people to what matters most since 1898. Why don't you tell everyone how they can enter?
Go to DPCOMM.com/Christmas to learn more.
Welcome back to Saints Sports League Weekly, rather, here on 96.5 The Cave and 96.5thecave.com. John Kane along with Fred Smith and Josh Riley. All right, gentlemen, you guys have the con, so where are we going? Where do you want to go?
We could talk about, let's highlight. We can talk about Siena Heights women's soccer. Won the Wolverine Hoosier Athletic Conference regular season championship. Kind of flamed out in the semifinals. We lost to Lawrence Tech in a PK shootout here, right here at O'Loughlin Stadium. Still went to the national tournament. Got a 2-1 win over Trinity Christian, and then had Spring Arbor, our regional rival, who allegedly refuses to schedule us for non-conference games. I don't know. You can talk to Coach Scott Oliver on his opinion on that. But, hey, we scored a goal in the 8th minute of that game. We were up 1-0 on Spring Arbor on their home field. And then they tied it before the half and then scored the game-winning goal sometime in the second half. And Spring Arbor eventually goes to the national semifinals.
Did they go to the semis? They've been very fair.
We had them on the ropes, though, and you know what? It was a great year. Our only loss of the season came in the game that we were eliminated in the Lawrence Tech PK setback. Officially goes in as a tie. We played them to a 0-0 tie before they beat us in PKs. The unfortunate thing about losing the semifinals to Lawrence Tech was the fact that 2 or 3 weeks prior, we had beaten them in not non-conference, but we had beaten them in a conference game 5-0. And then a few weeks later, they come out and lock us down to a 0-0. And once you get to PK, once you get to penalty kicks in soccer, I mean, I personally think it's the worst way to end a tournament, a game. But I mean, playing by the same rules. So women's soccer had an incredible year, though. 15 wins, 1 loss, 6 ties.
Yeah, one time they, you're right, they were, actually, I don't know what the regular season ended up, but it was something 0-5, maybe. And then, you're right, even the upset in the semis isn't, I guess, considered a loss, but a tie. Because what happened, John, I think we talked about this on a show, that this year there was no overtime. You see, we ended overtime in lacrosse soccer, And because I kept asking, how are we tying so much, you know, because we've always played those. We had, because Coach Klesaris and I, she did a lot of our soccer games. I was AD. We'd always laugh because
you were always rooting against overtime.
You don't want five setters in volleyball, and you don't want and I couldn't figure it out. Well, and it was probably smart in that way to end it when people were away from campus. But what a year.
Yeah.
To basically go, oh, really, and in some ways undefeated. And I don't think he saw that coming. I knew they're always good. His program is always good. But what a year.
Yeah, it was a great year for Scooter's team. I remember asking him earlier in the year. I caught him after a game that they had won, I think, 2-3 to nothing. He's just, you know, you find him somewhere over in the Spencer building kind of decompressing, unwinding, you know, sitting off in his lonesome. You know, I go, you doing all right? I mean, your team just won 3-0. And I'd ask him the next day, I'm like, well, how do you like this team? You seemed a little bit distraught. And he comes right back to me and says, no, I love this team. I'm like, well, you had your head in your hands last night. He's like, I love this team. He told me that 3, 4, 5 games into the season. He's like, I think we've got some potential. I think they had 14 shutouts on the year. And Scott, he was the conference coach of the year.
He just got another honor, I thought I read.
And he got another honor. The United Soccer Coaches, he'll be going to the United Soccer Coaches Convention in, I believe it's January. I don't know the right date, but he's going to Anaheim, California, and the United Soccer Coaches are going to honor him with a letter of commendation. He and four others are being honored, including there is a Toledo, Sylvania area coach. Name is blanking right now, but there is another somewhat local guy out of this group of five people that will be honored at the convention. So, I mean, long time coming for somebody who's coached, you know, as long as he has. I mean, he played at Siena Heights. He's earned 3 degrees here, 2 bachelor's degree, 1 master's. He's coached for as long as he has.
And he's taken probably 5-6 teams at a national
tournament. I think it's what it is, six regular season championships, I think 5 tournament championships or vice versa, or 6 and 7. You know, the sports information guys should know these exact numbers.
What athletes got postseason awards for this
team? Parker Cheney was, one of the big ones. She was WAC midfielder of the year. Parker from Woodhaven High School, and she and Mackenzie Stenzel, defender, were both All-Americans.
We did have a couple All-Americans.
A couple All-Americans.
That's awesome.
Mackenzie from Dakota High School, my Michigan GI. So now I got to learn my Michigan.
Yeah, up in Macomb County.
That's right. Shelby Township, something like that.
Yeah, okay. It's a huge school,
Gotcha. I'm still learning relearning the Michigan geography. But I know Mackenzie Parker, Marissa Young was another girl who, I'll tell you a story about Marissa Young, was not on the early season roster because I think she had graduated and had gotten a full-time job and a big-time goal scorer for Scooter's team in the past. And then I think they may have played a game or two, and all of a sudden he says, hey, we're gonna re-add Marissa Young to the roster because she wants to come back and play. And Marissa
went to grad school, huh?
Yeah, went to grad school. And, Marissa ends up, she's now second all-time career game-winning goals in program history with 18, Miss Clutch.
Wow, 18 game-winning goals.
18 game-winning goals. Now I realize it's part of the COVID era, so I think it might be part of 5 seasons maybe, but it's still a lot. It's still a lot. You know?
We see it, the quarterbacks and the Heisman.
Some of these guys that have been in college.
Nixon's played 5 years. The kid from Washington's played 5 years. That's just a new norm right now, although from what I understand, it'll all be ending soon.
Yeah.
Because I think they got that extra year. But for us, it's a great thing that we have these graduate programs, especially the MBA program. All of them are great programs.
Yeah.
That allows kids to certainly continue their education and get a chance to play.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can never keep track who is what. I used to never be a problem. athletic eligibility versus academic eligibility. Now you're seeing kids who are athletically sophomores and academically seniors, and it's just I can't keep up with it.
Well, it's hard as you even look at it in the you know, in the major college thing, as us, all of us are sports fans, and you figure out that how can you possibly play a 60-year? Well, the NCAA has this thing with injury or something. I could only
medical.
Imagine,
there's COVID.
My parents try to explain to them I wanted to be in college 6 years. Unless if it was getting paid for, they probably wouldn't mind. But that isn't happening in our place.
Oh man, but yeah, great season out of women's soccer. They had a couple other second team all conference girls, Sarah Amon, a girl from Royal Oak, and their goalie Caitlin Harwood, who I can't remember exactly what her goals against were, but she was giving up less than half a goal a game. I mean, the team had 14 shutouts on the season, which I mean, when you're the goalie for that team, you're definitely, you know, organizing the defense, making the saves. So, yeah, I mean, a great year out of women's soccer. Men's soccer, they're okay. I mean, they're still hoping to make
the last
make some
quarter
moves.
Of the year. We started off good, and the last quarter we had to rally a little bit and win. We just couldn't quite win the big one. They were about 500, weren't they?
Yeah. Men's soccer overall 7-9-3, 3-5-3 in the conference. One of the big conference accolades they got was a kid, Lorenzo Lim. He was a defender who came in and made the whack all newcomer team. But yeah, you know what? Looking at the early part of the Saints men's soccer season, I thought it showed a lot more promise than where it ended up.
Yeah, I think they were disappointed. They had a hard time scoring goals when we had Coach Crawford on the show. If I remember right, we hit that scoring drought in the middle of the year.
Yeah, but early on, it looked like they could be competing for, you know,
top four.
Yeah.
I thought top four.
Yeah, and then it just kind of tailed off. I don't know if it was injuries or tactics or I don't know. You know, as you said, would be better asked for Coach Crawford, but something kind of just didn't come together. But still, you know, all right. 7-9-3 season.
Yeah, and they got in, and they're in the playoffs. It's with a 12-team conference. There's 8-team tournament, and he's you know, really done a good job year by year. We've been getting better and better, and we have such a unique mix. And that's always been a real flavor of this show is the young people talking about the culture, because we have so many international kids and how that's been such a great experience for their team. You know, and I can't, you're the SID, but 40, we got to have 40 odd in the program. And
half of them might be international.
Yeah, right.
If not,
and because we have a varsity JV, or excuse me, reserve program. But I think there's good progress coming there. And then I don't mean to switch to volleyball, but our volleyball team had another great year. My goodness.
You know, volleyball is one of those things where I feel like that, I mean, to the outsider, it looks like a great year. I don't know how
they were disappointed.
I imagine the expectations after going 18-2 in the conference last year and never, I mean, they had injuries popping up at the start of the year. They had injuries. They had one all-region girl hurt at the start of the year, and another all-region girl, all-American mid, hurt midway through the year. Another girl who went on to win all-region hurt her foot late in the year. It's like they couldn't all be healthy and on top of their game.
They finished pretty with impressive records.
Yeah, 24-8 overall, 15-5 in the conference. We went third in the conference. The kryptonite was the Saints of Aquinas. We went 0-3 against Aquinas, lost 2 in the regular season, and then lost in the conference tournament to Aquinas. Meanwhile, we went 2-0 against Indiana Tech, which won the regular season
tournament. That was strange. If I remember right, you know, we sweep Indiana Tech, and I think we lost a late home contest to Concordia. And we had a little lull, like we're seeing in the NFL, unfortunately, like the Lions, but these teams losing, having, and we had a little lull, and then we come back next week, and I think she knocks off Tech. And you can know more about it than
yeah, but what do you think your explanation is? Did Aquinas have certain matchup situations that allowed them to win?
You know, I am no volleyball expert. I tell you what, I've seen collegiate volleyball up close and personal for more than a decade now. I probably learned more about the sport this year than in those previous 10 years. Just, I don't know, I took a, I just, I focused on the volleyball team a lot more. I really took a liking to the way that team practices, prepares, the way the girls carry themselves. I can't pinpoint it. Like, volleyball is just one of those, whether they weren't playing well or teams were outplaying them or things just didn't go their way and maybe they went their way the previous year. I think health is something that really caught up to them because they really, I don't know, and Coach Barrington would be the best one to ask this question to. We could have her on, you know, sometime. I'd love to know how many sets she had her best six players on the floor, because I don't know if she had her best six on the floor all the time. Because, I mean, we had one girl, Devin Eisenhower, a girl who was all region last year, all conference, and she didn't get any accolades this year because her numbers weren't great because she spent the first half of her season trying to get healthy from an injury. We had Aubrey Bates, who may go down as one of the best players in program history. She's got the all-time assists record now, career assists. She had a great year, but she was battling a little bit of a knee injury. We had Olivia Norman, middle blocker, the tall 6'1", 6'2", had a great year. She was our all-region player. She was dealing with a little bit of a foot injury by the end of the year. So I feel like Kim, and this would be, you know, she would be the better one to ask, but I feel like she never had her six best players on the floor at one time. That's not taking anything from girl number 7, girl number 8, girl number 9, girl 10, because they have the depth, too. They had a lot of girls step up and have to perform and fill in roles. They had girls that had to play in one position and fill in for injured girl A and then fill in for injured girl B at another spot later in the year. It just didn't, you know, it for some reason it didn't come together still. I mean, they were in the semifinals against Aquinas, and if they win that match against Aquinas, they're going to the national tournament. Yeah. They knew it because, you know, the regular season champ gets the automatic bid, and then the tournament runner-up gets the other auto if the regular season champ gets to the finals. And there it was in front of us, 2-3 against 3-seed. Again, and I asked Kim before they left that day, I said, so you got to be rooting for Indiana Tech in that first match because that – then at least you know you're going into the night, the later match, knowing that you're a win, winning in. And, I mean, I unfortunately couldn't make the trip because we had some home events that weekend, but, I mean, I watched it, and, I mean, it was bitter watching the live videos as they went down to Aquinas. You couldn't help but feel bad because I think they had aspirations of raising their first national tournament banner.
Well, you know, one of the things is back in the 90s when we started the WAC, John, originally it was a 6-team league that grew to 8 with Indiana Tech, but it was always then an 8-team league. Winning an 8-team league is a lot different than winning a 12-team league. Mm-hmm. You know, finding that out in the Big Ten, right?
Yeah.
When the Big Ten was, now it's a big what? It was a big 14 this year, soon to be a big 18, right? And I think that those 12-team leagues, winning conference championships, are hard to do.
Absolutely. And volleyball did have a couple area girls, though. I mean,
yeah,
I mean.
Ida girl. I thought they had a great player from Ida.
That would have been Katie Karsten. She was not all conference. Kinsey Wagner was an Onsted
She's
girl.
She's an Onsted, yeah.
Girl. She had a great year. She was second team all conference. Peyton Osborne, the libero, the defensive player from Monroe. She went to St. Mary Catholic over there. Yeah. It was a big highlight for her. First time she was all conference, and it was her senior year. But she was huge on the defensive side for Kim Barrington's team. But you know, it's tough because you 24-8, 15-5 in the conference, third place in the conference, and a win away from the national tournament. It sounds like a pretty good year. But based on, I think, expectations and aspirations, I think, like I said, I think that they were hoping that they would be able to qualify for their first NAIA tournament and fell just short, unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, just to throw in a couple other local names that have done well in the fall, I know we got another segment coming up here, but, I mean, just quick run through. I mean, men's cross country, not a great performance. Eighth at the Wolverine Hoosier Athletic Conference. This is first year of the post-Tim Bauer era, but Andrew Stern had a pretty good year for Saline High School kid. Had a pretty good year for the men's cross country team. Another local girl that had a great year for women's cross country, Brooke Hildebrandt. She was 36th at the Wolverine Hoosier Athletic Conference. A little bit of room to move up. Why not? I mean, what are some of the other things we've got going on? I think I pretty much have covered the fall, right, John? We could jump into the winter at any time, and I know we'll be having a guest down here.
Well, we could do
winter,
John's here, favorite, and he's getting to be an expert in it, and that's esports.
We're gonna be hopefully
coming our next trip. We're gonna be coming on campus for that, because that is such a – we have so much fun doing that show. I don't know how well we do it, but we sure learn a lot.
You know what the E in esports for me stands for?
What does it stand for, John?
Eeyore. I do not have the fast twitch muscle fiber for that sport.
I just wish that was a thing when I was in college. I can compete intercollegiately playing a video. Is that really? I'm not knocking at esports, folks. It's jealousy. I would have loved to be part of that movement, but 20 years too late for me.
All right, well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be back. You're listening to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 96.5thecave.com.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu.
If you're looking to truly make a positive impact on the community, consider a career at Lenawee Community Mental Health Authority. We're seeking dedicated individuals to join our team and provide essential mental health services to our community. Your skills and empathy will be the key to helping individuals on their path to resilience, recovery, wellness, and self-determination. Make a difference where it matters most and be a force for positive change. Apply online at lcmha.org or find us on Indeed. Master's and bachelor's level social workers are highly encouraged to apply.
Here's a great driving tip. Avoid muddy, dirty roads, roads under construction, or really just anything that can make your vehicle dirty. Plain and simple. But if you can't, you must never avoid Magic Fountain Auto Wash. At Magic Fountain Auto Wash, you can save your vehicle from all the damage from that dirt and grime. Why allow the Michigan roads the chance to reduce the value of your vehicle when it can be prevented? Magic Fountain Auto Wash, with self-serve bays and touchless drive-through, 3 locations in Adrian, Hudson, and Britton. Make dirty cars a thing of the past.
Welcome back to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 96.5thecave.com. And we have on the phone Siena Heights University athletic director and head women's basketball coach, Sue Siljabek. Sue, there's a couple of guys here I think want to talk to you about some kind of a streak.
We're not talking about bad streaks, good streaks, man. Eight in a row, coach, eight in a row.
I know. It's funny how we started 0-2, and everybody's like, "What's going on with Siena Heights women's basketball?" But we had a tough start. Two very good opponents and two ranked opponents, to be truthful.
Right,
so,
both ranked.
You know, it was a little early. Both of those teams had played a couple games before we got to play one. So I'd like to go back and play them again and see where we stand.
Well, Josh has the statistics on how many points you've given up these last games. Go ahead.
45, is this right, Sue? 45.4 points per game allowed. That's incredible. So, yeah, Sue, talk about your players and just the team, overall team commitment to the defensive side of the ball.
You know, last year we were disappointed. We were disappointed in our defense, and our team was disappointed in it and didn't feel like maybe everybody played as hard on defense as they did in offense. And it's probably fair. We averaged 75 points last game. I'm not even sure what we're averaging offensively this year, but so we came back with that focus to be committed to being a top 10 team in field goal percentage defense. And I think we're climbing up there. We're either in the top 10, top 5, or points, or somewhere in there. You know, nationally, even the game we lost to Indiana Tech, I'm like, can you ever imagine a game where Siena Heights and Indiana Tech score only 88 points in total together, where usually that's probably what each one of us has scored in the past. So it's kind of just a little different script this year, and we have some big pieces that are playing some really good defense for us as well.
Well, the one thing, Coach, is you know, you got to preface all this by saying you're playing with a 30-second shot clock. You know, we're talking, you know, that game with you and Tech was, man, you talk, it was just a old big, what we call a Big Ten grinder back in the old Bob Knight days,
right,
you know.
Right.
But the thing about your club is, you know, you're coming off losing really two All-Americans, right? Not one, but two All-Americans. And I don't know if you'd have said you'd be 8-2, would you be happy, pleased, or are you surprised?
No, I mean, I think we go back. Somebody said 8-2, and you're. I know we didn't lose 3,000 points, but we did. And those people, I mean, sure. Peyton Banks scored 2,000 points in her career, and Shakaya Parker scored over 1,000 in really what was probably 3.5 years.
Right.
Because, you know, she had a COVID year. What we played those 19 games and out with COVID.
Right. Well, we didn't really play a full year.
She really probably played 15 games. And, you know, and so it was, you know, I was like, where are we going to find our points? And I knew we had a great leadership in Iana Wan, and she had some ability to score. And Kayla Hinton, you know, was a second team all conference coming back. You know, so we knew we had some pieces there. And then obviously Eva Elcock and Olivia DeLong, and then Jillian Gelso. And then our coaching staff did a really pretty good job and had a few freshmen that come in and can really play and help us. So the pieces are starting to fall into place, and you know, our defense has held us long enough when we struggled offensively, and hopefully, except for those first two, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get stronger and stronger offensively.
Well, you know, you mentioned some of those pieces, but John and I had your game down at Lord's, which then Gelso goes nuts. I mean, hits 5 or 6 threes. Then the night, I'm trying to remember who we played. God, I'm sorry. You get almost 70.
Aquinas.
That's what
happens.
And Matty Weiss, because I left your game because we were ahead to go over to the softball big dinner. And I said, this Matty Weiss had 7 threes in the first half. And then this past week, Olivia, who, you know, had 23, you're finding a different player every night. I mean, that's got to be just so gratifying.
Stressful is what it is. It's stressful. I knew last year that I knew who to go to and I knew who to get the ball to, and you had two choices. And now it's not in a bad way. It's just who's going to score. And, you know, that's the good news, I guess. They can't really just key on one person. But at the same time, it's like, okay, who's going to get hot and who's not, and just try to play it out and find out where it goes. So.
But while you're doing this, Coach, you're developing depth. It's only going to help you, because some of these games, you're going on road and even home, they're not even close. I mean, you're hammering these teams. Even if when we look at our game, which Pat and I did against Crosstown Adrian, which ended up pretty close game at halftime. You end up winning 58-40, and that 40 is the key. And Kathy's team over there is 6-2. So you're beating teams pretty handily. I guess that's what impressing me is how handily you're beating these clubs.
Yeah, I mean, I really contributed. I'm trying to think back to Calhoun was just, you know, in the most positive way, just a dog on defense, they say, right? And Sierra Calhoun, that was. And I would probably put her up right with, you know, maybe not the most explosiveness
that
Iana Juan has, but Iana and Calhoun defensively have that same guard, you know, ability to contain some of the top guards in the league. I mean, McQueen from Madonna the other night, she's an Illinois State signee, played a year there, came back to Oakland University, D1s, and now is playing for them at Madonna, and she held them to 6 or 9 points, I think it was. And then Alana Blackwell out of Aquinas was a D1 player for 2 years. And I think she is averaging 20-some points, and then when Iana had gone out of the game, it was only like 9 points. And now we play a defense that is team defense. So, again, when I say that, everybody plays a role into it. But, you know, she's just taken the ownership of being the stopper and playing smart, because the last couple of years she would get some ticky-tack fouls.
Yeah, she got a little bit of fouls.
Reach in, and she's really, I'm knocking on wood, so she stays out of that, but doing a phenomenal job in defense. So.
You know, Coach, you know, traditionally you've always had the great half-court defense, but you know, earlier in the year you were pressing some. And again, I haven't seen you in the last few games. You've been on the road. Are you still using the press at all? Or
we haven't. You know, we will. We practice it frequently. Probably one every time in practice, at least some segment of practice. But it's kind of tough to go into a press when you're top five team in the country in half court. You know, but. You know, it is, and we've gotten out of it. We've done it. We've got a couple press options now as well. I suppose we can go to it, but right now it's, you know, I think we started a couple games in it, and then some of the games we've just used it to pop into it, you know.
Right.
And I wasn't starting. We had a transfer from Aquinas, actually. She's graduated, so she could play right away as Jakari Elvin, who's
she's
a great defensive
athletic
player,
yeah.
Actually a national champion track runner at Aquinas, and just a great athlete. But now she's starting, so we actually threw the press on a lot of times when she came into the game, and now she's starting into the game. So, you know, it just depends on it. So we have the ability, and we practice it more than we ever have in my career as a head coach, as a pressing. You know, and I think you helped me with, you or Al Sandiford helped me with the 1-2-2 on that, so we have that as well. So. We have, you know, a couple things that we can throw at some people.
Coach, you know, your team, as usual, through all your hard work, as much as you guys fundraise and whatnot, you guys are heading down to Puerto Rico soon, right? And tell our audience about that trip.
Yeah, we do. We do a ton of fundraising. Thankful to MIS, Michigan International Speedway, up there. And we do a lot there. We do a three-point-a-thon and some things. So our students, you know, and then so every other year we take a big trip and try to create experience for them that they'll remember. You know, some of our athletes have never flown. It's their first time on a plane.
Right.
Some of them have their first time to Hawaii, sometimes for Puerto Rico, a cruise and different things. But, yeah, we're going down there. This year, though, last time, this is our second time to Puerto Rico, but we get to play last time we played two Puerto Rican teams, and now we're playing only one, which is good, and then Warner down from Florida. So we'll get to play, and I think, you know, they're doing well in the Sun Conference, so it's good to get another NAI team while you're down there, and then we'll take in some of the sightseeing, and then we leave there, and then we go into Christmas break.
Right, and who do you got when you do you play between Christmas and New Year's, or you go right back
into
the conference?
No, we don't play. You know, we're at 10 games already. We'll get 12 before the holidays.
Right. So you have a little bit of a break.
Yeah, so we don't play until the 3rd with Rochester. So we'll come home a day or so later than usual, and then hopefully get ready for Rochester on the road back up there. So
I don't mean to ask you. I know we're, you know, I can't help. We talk basketball. I grab the microphone. I'm the Joe Pesciotta of the show. I just can't help myself. But so in my experience, I hated long breaks because it was hard to get our guys back to where they needed to be. Because when they're home, and when you're practicing up at Siena, it's a little lonely. So when are you going to bring them back, and what are you going to have them do to get that edge that you got right now?
Well, I hope it. So we'll play down there till the 20th. I think we stay a day 20th, and we're coming back on like the 28th, I guess.
Okay.
So they'll get 26th and 27th. So we'll practice two a days. Actually, we'll go twice on the 28th, probably twice on the 29th, and then even the 30th. And so hopefully we can get them back in, and then they'll have the one day off for New Year's Eve, which is our typical day off at Sunday. And then practice Monday, Tuesday regularly, and then get to go. So hopefully we'll, you know, there'll be a, I hope that they understand, you know, with our loss to Rochester at the end of the year last year, you know, in the semis, that almost kept us out of the tournament and actually kept us away from a championship, potentially a tournament championship. Hopefully that will be enough for their edge to be kept.
You know, Sue, I just got one question for you, but it must be a nice feeling that you and your players have that when push comes to shove, when we get to the point where the game gets incredibly, incredibly tight, that they've got the ability to lock it down on the defensive end. That's got to be something that's, gives you kind of a warm and fuzzy feeling.
You know, I look up at the clock now and I'm like, okay, what's our point spread? And we've been lucky enough to be ahead by, you know, a couple of double digits. And I'm like, all right, if we, you know, you do have to be honest, it is like, okay, as long as we keep playing, as long as we keep playing our defense, you know, there's no way but it's going to be tougher than come back with 3 minutes or two, you know, whatever time is left, And, you know, the last few games we haven't, I can't remember. I think Lords was the, Fred and Lords might have been the yes. last one that wasn't in double figures. Even Governor State right now, who we beat, they're 8-2. They beat University of Indy.
They're 8-2.
Indianapolis,
wow.
This was a D2 school. And so, you know, but I also know that, you know, we haven't played a ranked opponent, you know, since our first two losses. So, We're staying in check and working, and you know we'll be tested again. We just got to make sure we're ready when we get tested.
I'm hoping we can, I'd love to see that rematch down in Indiana Tech. So I give your politic all the bigwigs down here at the Cave and whatnot. Just congrats. This is your basketball hat on, but. We're talking about the unbelievable fall that you've led your athletic program to. I mean, with the volleyball and the soccer, just tremendous performances. So congratulations there also.
Yeah, I wish I could say something we just got phenomenal coaches, and you know, we're women's soccer claiming our first outright championship. Regular season championship, I think, since 2017 or 18 with women's track. And then before that, I think it was golf. And then Kim Barrington, I mean, she's just a champion from the start. And what she's done with our volleyball program and put them in a position to be so successful. And she, man, you want to talk about a wizardry. The job she did, I mean, I'm not sure Josh, you might be able to speak of it, but, I mean, Seton probably have one of the same lineups probably for maybe 4 or 5 games max, you know, because they battled some injuries and she kept finding a way to recreate their success. So she's just done a great job. And then our football team, obviously, doing a great job with golf and men's soccer, you know, battle to tournament spots. So, yeah, it was an exciting fall for us, and hopefully we can continue it rolling to be an exciting winter.
She just said what you said, Josh.
Yeah, to Sue, it's funny. Like a segment or two ago, I was talking about our women's volleyball team, and I said exactly what you said. I said, I don't think Kim had her best 6 girls on the floor all season, but I don't know. But yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened. Injuries caught up with to our women's volleyball team. That's for sure.
Well, Sue, I want to say thanks for being on the show here this evening, and we want to wish you the best of luck. And the Saints girls basketball team going forward, keep the streak going.
All right, we'll try. We'll keep working on that. I appreciate it. And we will think of you in the island or down there in Puerto Rico.
We appreciate it.
And, but I appreciate your support, and you guys have a happy holiday.
All right, same to you. Sue Siljabek, the Siena Heights University Saints athletic director and head women's basketball coach. Well, that's going to wrap up the show for this evening. Thanks, guys, for being in here. Another great show. And remember now, you can listen to Saints Sports Weekly each Monday evening at 6 p.m. right here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.